A new study shows some serious health risks from getting angry. According to this study from Harvard, the risk of heart attack or related coronary problems is multiplied by 5. The risk of stroke quadrupled in the 2 hours after an angry outburst. While researchers say, hey, don't panic about that elevated risk, it still does make a significant difference.
So what do we do with all of that information? As you know, it's not always easy to control anger, and perhaps anger can have some positive functions, too. Ryan Martin joins us now. He is chair of the psychology department at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, where, among other things, he studies the psychology of anger. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hello. Good to be here.
It's nice to have you along. I want to start out with these health implications. You know, all along, I think I always suspected that, you know, if somebody got real angry, the chances of having a heart attack or some sort of event like that would occur. And now it seems as though that's been confirmed. I mean, is this something that people have sort of suspected for a long time?
Yeah, I think what this study seems to bring that is new is the finding that it happens, that it can cause an immediate risk. You know, we've known that chronic anger problems led to chronic health problems for a very long time. But what this study really brings that's fascinating is the idea that having an angry outburst actually puts you at risk, you know, within those next couple of hours. And I think you're right. That is something we've suspected, but this is more substantial proof of that.
Well, Ryan, we tend to think of anger as a negative emotion, and this health news hammers that home even more. But does anger have a positive side?
Absolutely. So I'm of the opinion that all emotions have a positive side, that they exist because they bring us kind of an adaptive benefit. Anger's adaptive benefit is that it alerts us to the fact that we've been wronged, and it actually energizes us to confront that injustice. And so if somebody's wronged us, it gives us the energy to respond to that and to do something about it.
I want to ask, too, you know, it seems as though people are angry more often these days, and I'm wondering whether that's just a perception that's going around or whether there's been any research on that.
I think that's a common perception, and so that's something I hear often from people, this idea that people are angrier now. I tend to wonder if it isn't that anger is a little more visible than it ever has been before. One of the areas that I've started researching recently is anger on the internet, and I think the internet provides many different venues for people to vent and to express how angry they are, and they're more permanent than they used to be. You know, the person who used to just get angry while they were sitting in their car stuck at a stoplight, now later on, you know, posts about it in Facebook or tweets about it, and then it's more permanent. And so we end up seeing it more that way.
It's also more immediate, right? I mean, you can just fire something off before you think about it.
Yep, absolutely. I think that's one of the problems that we see with anger online is that it exacerbates impulsivity problems. You know, that I sometimes wonder if what we see right now, and especially online, is an anger problem, an impulsivity problem, or both. That sometimes we see that because you can fire off an email, because you can post or tweet something so quickly, you don't necessarily have time to think about it and cool down before you do it.
You know, I wonder, though, once upon a time, the anger was, Gene, you just hit me in the head with a rock. I am immediately mad at you. Now it's, Gene, you express something on Twitter that doesn't accord to my personal values. And when I think about it a little bit, I get angry. I don't know. It seems like there's more distance. There's more steps there toward that anger. Does that matter?
Yeah, I think, you know, to go to that question you asked before about are people angrier now than they used to be, I think there's probably some truth to that, too. And I think some of it is what you're describing there with the multiple steps, that there are lots of things out there that we can kind of find and seek out that make us angry. And I think the internet provides a place for that. You know, somebody posts something that's incongruent with your belief system, that was maybe something that was hidden in the past, something people, you know, friends didn't necessarily talk about, but it's harder not to talk about it now. because it gets posted out there or put out there.
I want to talk a little bit about the process of anger. I read a column that you wrote where you talk about kind of we think of anger as being the sort of this impulsive thing that just sort of happens when we're in the car and somebody cuts us off and, you know, this thing, you know, some bad words happen. But the way you outline the process, there's a little more complexity to it than just that.
Yeah, I think what we see is that, you know, and that's really common. People think of anger as being this thing that just happens, right? And usually it's, you know, it happens to us almost, right? Something makes us mad. But ultimately, it doesn't really work that way. If it did, then two people would respond to provocations in exactly the same way, and we know that doesn't happen. It ends up being the result of, yes, there's a trigger event. There's usually something that happens that sparks it. But it's that trigger event interacts with our individual characteristics. So, you know, personality traits, things like that. You know, things like narcissism, things like competitiveness. Those sorts of traits matter. But also, what kind of mood we're in at that point when it happens. You know, if you're running late for work, that stoplight, getting stuck at that stoplight, is a lot worse than if you're just out for a Sunday drive. So the kind of mood we're in matters. You know, people are more likely to anger when they're tired. They're more likely to anger when they're sort of physically uncomfortable, when they're, when they're under stress and so forth. All of those things really play a role. But I think the big thing and how those things all matter is that they matter with regard to how we appraise events or how we evaluate events. And they matter with regard to whether or not we look at something and we evaluate the situation. Do we think that this is unjustified? Do we think that this is unnecessary? Do we think it's blameworthy and so forth? And so, you know, if we're driving along and, someone could have gone through made it through a stoplight, but stopped short, and now we don't get to go through the stoplight either. You know, when we're tired, when we're frustrated already, when we're stressed, we may evaluate that behavior much more negatively. We may say, oh, well, that person is, you know, they shouldn't have done that. Sometimes people even take it a step further to be a little more extreme, where they say things like, oh, you just did that to make me mad, or something like that.
Well, supposing we're one of those people with personality traits that makes us more prone to anger, are we doomed? I mean, that's just how we are, and we're always going to have a quicker hair trigger toward anger than everyone else?
Absolutely not. We see that people can routinely, make changes. I think one of the things we know is that human beings can change. Now, the degree to which they can change is always somewhat limited, right? People don't just change overnight, and they don't change dramatically overnight, that's for certain. But we know that people can, once people start to be a little more introspective, once they start to think a little bit about what's making them angry, why they're feeling angry, when they start to evaluate the types of thoughts they have when they're angry, we see that people can make noticeable differences in kind of how they experience anger and so on.
Well, some of the things you just mentioned make me think of the word mindfulness. Is there,
yes.
Do people meditate to become less angry or practice other mindfulness kind of things? Does that work?
Absolutely. That's and it works in two ways. Or there's two ways in which we find that mindfulness is valuable. For starters, we see that, there's been a lot of research on mindfulness and how it helps with, essentially with relaxation, the same way mindfulness helps, decrease anxiety and that sort of thing. We tend to think of anger and relaxation as being what we call incompatible mood states, that you can't feel both at the same time. And so if you can, through mindfulness or other relaxation approaches, achieve a point where you're feeling relaxed, well, then that anger starts to dissipate. The other way it works, though, that is really important is that one of the things we see from chronically angry people is they tend to just kind of brood on events and think about events over and over and over again. And they ruminate, is what we call it. And so it's the person who, maybe they get in an argument with someone and then they just can't let it go, and they think about it and they think about it and they think about it. And, as they're trying to go to sleep that night, they continue to think about it. Well, we found that mindfulness can really help people who tend to ruminate. It can really help them think about or help them sort of achieve a little bit more inner peace. And so they can let some of those thoughts go.
So given that news that we started this interview out with, that there are some health implications to getting angry, you know, particularly in the first couple of hours after the event, does this whole idea of being mindful, of being cognizant of your emotions take on greater urgency?
I think it does. And I think, you know, to kind of go back to something I said earlier, I don't think anger on its own is particularly bad. I think anger is a really valuable emotion. But the next step isn't just what you feel, it's what you do with it. And it's one thing to feel angry. It's another thing to feel angry and then respond with aggression or respond with violence or to ruminate or things like that. And so I think a person who becomes angry and then can find a way to turn that into something a little more healthy. Maybe they use that as a way of problem solving. Maybe they use that to assert themselves in a more respectful, responsible way than the kind of aggressive way we tend to think about. A person who's willing to do those things when they get angry or to embrace mindfulness, I think that can be really healthy and valuable.
We're talking to UW Green Bay psychology professor Ryan Martin about anger, and more specifically, we're talking about some recent research which suggests that there are some health implications to getting angry, specifically a higher risk of heart attack and stroke right after, in the hours after, an angry outburst.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
We're talking about anger and being mad as heck and what we can do about our anger before it hurts our health. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. UW Green Bay psychology professor Ryan Martin is with us to talk about the role that anger plays in our lives, and we'd like you to join in. Have you figured out how to rein in your anger? Is there a situation in your life, maybe it's driving, maybe it's work, watching the big game, whatever it might be, where you find yourself getting angrier than you like? Give us a call and tell us about it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us, talk@WPR.org.
Ryan, we hear sometimes we shouldn't bottle our anger up. We need to vent it. I think there have even been therapies involving screaming, punching pillows, that sort of thing. We've got to get it out of our systems. Is there anything to that?
There is something to it. It's actually the opposite of that, though. what you're referring to is we oftentimes in the field refer to as the catharsis myth, the idea that venting anger that way is good for us, is what we need. It's, you know, the pressure cooker metaphor. And ultimately what we find, though, is that people who, you know, vent, people who hit pillows, people who hit, you know, punching bags and things like that as a way of expressing their anger, ultimately have more serious anger problems down the road. An old soccer coach of mine used to say practice makes permanent, not practice makes perfect, but permanent. Mm-hmm. And his point was that if you practice something incorrectly, that's how you're going to do it down the road. And that's, I think, what's happening with this idea of catharsis, that if you tend to fall back and develop an anger expression strategy that's unhealthy, well, then that's what you're going to do all the time. And, you know, yelling, screaming, punching things, those just aren't healthy anger expression approaches for the most part.
So, which brings up the question of what is a healthy anger expression?
I think, to be honest, the healthiest, the right thing to do when you're angry is really very much contextual. You know, it depends on the situation. I think, by and large, what I usually encourage is that, you know, the thing that you should be trying to do for the most part is, one, is sort of stop, reflect on the situation to the best that you can in the moment. Think about why you're feeling angry. Think about some problem-solving approaches. You know, what is it? You know, I'm feeling this way because something is wrong, is another way of thinking about it. Is there something I can do to fix whatever is wrong? You know, is there a way in which I can assert myself calmly? Maybe not now. Maybe it's, you know, to wait a little while and then to come back and assert myself and say, this is why I got angry. This is what I would like to see happen. I think the key is, and probably the hardest part of this entire process, though, is catching yourself in the moment, is recognizing, you know, first that you don't want to lose control that way, and recognizing that you need to kind of step back a little bit. And that can be really, really hard for people, really difficult for people to be able to step back that way.
Let's go to our callers now. We've got Mike on the line in Milwaukee. Mike, hi.
Good afternoon. As I told the screener, I think you can choose as an individual whether or not you're going to get angry or not. You should be able to control yourself. I'm older. Actually, I'm being treated right now for PTSD and from being in a war. And one of the things that they are really working on is helping us to control our anger, keep things in perspective. Everybody likes to talk about the anger that they feel while they're out there on the road, and you can see it. How something silly, somebody just doesn't do something that the person behind them thinks is right, and they just explode. And you have to keep things in perspective. You have to realize that everything that happens to you and around you out there on the road or wherever is not personal. It's not something personal, and you just have to calm down, relax, take a deep breath, keep things in perspective, and you also have to remember and realize that, you know what, you screw up a lot too. You know, you're not perfect.
Mike,
and I think that
Mike, thank you so much. Good luck with your treatment for PTSD. A couple of really interesting things there, I thought, Ryan, and I wanted to bring you in on. First of all, the idea of anger as a choice.
Yeah, I think there is some truth to that. I mean, I think that there are times when I think anger is a very natural response. You know, I think that it happens as a, you know, as a result of the, like we said before, the combination of the situation and also how you tend to appraise things. But I think the fact that we play a role in appraising things does suggest that we have some choice there, that there's something we can do to feel differently about it. I think it might be sometimes the way it's presented, that idea that anger is a choice, makes it seem like it's a light switch or something, and that, I think that's probably a little too simplistic. That's not what the caller said, but I think that's a little too simplistic. But there is, I mean, we play a role in whether or not we're going to get angry, that is for sure.
Let's go back to the phones right now. Rebecca is with us from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. My question is about the inability to express anger. I'm someone who is very calm and can recognize when I'm being wronged or that something isn't going my way, but I'm wondering about the health risks associated with the inability to express anger.
Rebecca, great question. What about that, Ryan? What about someone who just holds it in, but inside there's sort of this seething cauldron of, you know, burning bile or whatever is inside there?
Yeah, and that is, you know, that is most certainly a problem too, and I'm glad she called and brought that up. I think, you know, there's obvious, you know, back to when I said that the right thing to do when you're angry is, you know, depends on the context. I think there is a time and place when you want to hold it in, but just like if you were always to hold it in, the same way if you were always to express it sort of aggressively, you would, you know, it wouldn't be healthy. We see that, you know, chronic anger suppression like that is still associated with long-term cardiovascular problems. It's also associated with other sorts of negative emotions. Sometimes people feel guilty. They feel, you know, frustrated with themselves for not, you know, telling a person how they felt. That's where a lot of that rumination comes from that I mentioned before, that a person who feels like, I really should have told that person that I was mad at them. That you know, and then they continue to think about it and sort of stew. I don't worry. I mean, sometimes people will sort of blow their top eventually, but even if they don't, it's still really unhealthy to kind of hold that in all the time, because it causes other sorts of psychological and physiological problems down the road.
Rebecca, thanks a lot for bringing that up. We've got Steve on the line now in Winona. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up?
Oh, I wanted to make a comment to the guest. So in my experience, any time I have been angry, the only time I've felt any positive feeling about the discussion when I had been angry is if the other person was calm and found a reason in my behind my anger. So having observed that, I use a very simple technique that works most of the time when I feel that I am getting to the verge of anger, is to simply try to count slowly in my mind to five and that usually calms me down, and also try to engage in the conversation by not so much as responding to the other person, but trying to ask them more questions.
Huh. So, interesting. So counting and then asking questions instead of really confronting as such, Ryan.
Yeah, counting is a really good anger control strategy, you know, and it takes someone who is aware of the fact that this is where the choice piece comes in. A person who is aware of the fact that they want to be calm, and acknowledging, yes, I want to relax right now. So making the point of, you know, stopping themselves, counting to five, probably taking some deep breaths while they do it. And then moving forward in kind of a more calm manner. The idea about asking questions, I think, makes sense as well. And you know, asking questions can still be a means of sort of asserting yourself as too. You know, that as you're asking those questions, you're probably asking questions with an idea in mind about how you'd like the person to answer them. And so that can still be kind of a conflict resolution approach.
In about the last minute or so, is the research we're talking about today, that health implication of getting angry and, you know, the chance of increased heart attacks and stroke, is that a game changer here, or is this just part of the evolution of our research into anger and some of its effects?
I wouldn't necessarily call it a game changer in the sense that it's consistent with the other stuff that we've known. I think the way in which it's a game changer is that I think it makes it even more clear that an angry outburst can have really negative effects. That, you know, in the past, we tend to think of an angry outburst as meaning that people might be at risk of being the victim of violence or something like that, a person hurting themselves or hurting someone else. Now I think we're adding that there are immediate health consequences. And so in that sense, I think it is a game changer.
Well, Ryan, thanks for joining us today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
That was Ryan Martin, chair of the psychology department at UW Green Bay.